you, Brian, and good morning, everyone. It's an amazing privilege to be able to be here with you as a school family, with your church family here this Sunday, and just to be able to dedicate the year to the Lord, to His hand, to His work. We're members of His body, and we share this site together. And that's an amazing privilege to be able to do that. So firstly, I just want to say thank you to all of the Overflow Church family for hosting us and to be able to help us dedicate the year to the Lord, the work that we're doing to Him as we go about it for His glory, Madero Christian School. And it is a great privilege. Many of you who are in the room who have been part of Overflow Church have been praying for us for years, have been a part and have seen so many different iterations of the school as it's grown over the last 30 years. And we celebrated 30 years last year. Amazing vision cast from members of this church community and others to try and start a school next to the church. Or actually, it was here. It was started here on this site and then moved down the slope and has continued to grow over those last 30 years. And it was fantastic to be able to celebrate that last year and to be able to start thinking a little bit about where God's leading us in the next season as we move into the future. And so we feel very privileged to be able to have been established by the people of this church community, to be prayed for still today by you. It is an amazing blessing to us and to our work. It's not easy being a teacher, working in schools, working with young people and families. There are lots of different expectations. And people will bring them to us and we'll try and work with them ultimately to try and reveal who Jesus is through each interaction, through the way in which we set ourselves up, through the way in which we talk, the language that we use, so that people might be able to capture a little bit more of His likeness when they see us as fallen, as broken as we are. But they'll still see something. And often people say that when they come and they have interviews with me and they sit in my office or they come to a principal's tour, which we have throughout the year, they'll say, oh, this place just, there's something about this place. It feels good. And that's all they can really use. That's the language, the extent of the language they can use to articulate what's happening for them, that it just feels good. And that's amazing. But I definitely believe that that's the work of the Spirit on the site. Through the staff, through His ambassadors, through the students as they continue to welcome new people into their community, and through the families and for the church that's praying over the work that's happening there for our students and families. So it's an amazing privilege to be able to do that. I did want to just provide a little bit of a update as to where things are at actually for the school. So today we find ourselves with an enrollment of just over 600 young people, lives that we get to impact for Christ, which is, yeah, it's an amazing opportunity, right, to be able to be salt and light, to sow seeds and to be able to encourage our children from 4 years of age. Our prep program is a very special part of our community, right the way through to our seniors, our year 12s, and the way in which they engage with our community and help lead our community. And now even we're seeing, as the years go on, a little bit more of a commitment from our alumni, some students coming in. They'll be at every one of those music events or opportunities to come in. They'll come and see us during the school days. They'll be running groups during lunchtime. And I think that's a fantastic part of being in Christian community together. And that's what we get to do. Overflow Church, Care, Raj and the team at the surgery, the gym, the school, Smart Play. And as we just learned as a school staff last week, that now Madero Christian School has purchased 8 Warrapora Road as well. So as far as the future of the school and its growth, we continue to be able to do that. And I was saying to the staff just on Friday that we, you know, in 2022, we didn't need to do that because we weren't of a size that really warranted the need to expand our school grounds. Whereas now we most certainly are. And with the blessing and the stewardship of Christian Education Ministries and their partnership with us and their leadership over us as a school, we've been able to purchase that land and hopefully be able to develop that into the future for more students to come in to be able to experience what we are doing at Medea Christian School to be able to experience the gospel. And we all know that we're going to let, you know, Jesus take it from there. But it is just an amazing opportunity and blessing to be able to do that and to think about what the school of the future could look like. And I don't really have a firm vision about that. And sometimes if I think about a younger version of Dan Weeks in schools listening to principals, you want to hear the big dream, right? You want to hear what it's going to look like in the end. You want to hear about the facilities. You want to hear about the people, the culture, the structures. I don't actually have any of that right now. I promise I'm working on it. But the way I'm doing that is through committing just my life to the Lord and trying to step and walk obediently with him. And so our verse for the year at Medea Christian School is from Colossians 3:17, and I think it's going to connect in a little bit with what Joe's going to say, and then I'm going to get an opportunity to dovetail into that at the end. But it says this: whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And so whatever God puts our hand to, we're to do that for him. Whether it's in word, get a word to give to someone, you have a word to say to someone, you have something of value that he's gifted to you. Whether it's an action, whatever that looks like, do that in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so I'm encouraging my community this year to do that. And I have said to the staff, it doesn't mean do all the things on the list. It's not about checking off all the tasks. It's about doing all of the things with the heart response and posture that actually is so good that we get to do this for him. Gee, he has blessed us amazingly. Gee, we are privileged beyond measure as far as maybe society might say, but also spiritually. The access that we have to the word, the opportunity that we have to freely teach it in our classrooms. That's not a global given that you can do that. And so I think that's an amazing privilege and an amazing responsibility on us. And so we do need your continued prayer and partnership as we work with young people for the gospel, that we do try to teach them really well through the way in which we get to know them and love them. And so whatever we do, whether in word or deed, our aim as we launch into the next 30 years is to do all those things in the name of the Lord, not in the name of Dan or insert name here, which, to be honest, is really easy to do. But giving thanks to God the Father through him for all that he's given to us and all that he's done for us so that we have this amazing opportunity. I'm going to hand back to Joe in a minute, but I just want to say a huge thank you to the staff today for coming along and being a part of our dedication service. Every day, well, actually, not every day, it's not true. 4 out of 5 days a week, the staff at Medea Christian School meet to have devotions, to start our day oriented towards the Lord and his leading in our day and in our life. And when you partner with a church and you be in relationship with a church for so many years that are praying for you, sometimes, as a staff member of the school, we can just forget that there are actually other people praying for us. Unless we see them, we experience them, we be in relationship with you. And so to the Overflow Church, thank you. But also to the staff, thank you for taking time. We are made up of so many different denominations. And I often do say to the staff, though, you know, Jesus did say, go and make many disciples, not many denominations. But we still, nevertheless, have different expressions of the gospel, the way in which we engage in our faith. And the amazing thing is that all of our staff want to share their heart for the gospel, want to share that with students, and they're then willing, and some of them, and many of them, they serve in their own churches. And in order to be able to be here, I just want to say thank you for arranging that and organizing that and prayerfully coming along and engaging in the one body, the unity that is actually, as we all know, bigger than any one denomination, but is a true example of unity. So I'm just going to pray for the Overflow Church family, and then I'm going to hand back to Joe. Loving Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity for Medea Christian School staff and Overflow Church family to be able to come together today and just dedicate the school year to you, because it's your school and it's your church. This is your site. So, Lord, we just ask that you will use it for your glory and for your name. And so help us to walk humbly and obediently in whatever it is that you have planned for us. May we do it all for your glory. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
So good, Dan. Thank you. Good morning. My name is Jo Nelson. I'm Associate Pastor here at Overflow Church, and I'm excited to be speaking with you this morning on the topic of humility and honour. Going to start off by professing that it's not something that I am an expert at, so please bear with me as we go along. I'd love to chat to you over morning tea. If you have any questions or any comments, come and see me, come and talk to me. But otherwise, most of all, I particularly want to pray for us this morning that God breathes a new word for you this morning, that he has a word of encouragement for you, for where you are at, and that he continues to speak about his understanding of humility and honour. And I also just want to welcome you again to this space. Welcome. You are a part of our extended family, not only because we geographically share the same site, but also because we are all lovers of Jesus. So you are part of our family, and welcome to our house. This term, we are talking about Overflow family values. So Brad kicked off the series last week talking on family and unity. And today I'm going to be speaking on humility and honour. And the rest of the weeks we'll be following on with the rest of those topics. As a church, our mission is transforming life through Jesus. And the way that we want to live out this mission at this point in time is our vision, which is on our back wall, which is to be a family of wholehearted people, becoming unmistakably like Jesus, going out of our way to boldly demonstrate God's goodness every day wherever we are. So it's not a coincidence that we are focusing on humility and honour for this particular service. We have been deliberate in lining up our core values because we actually share two of the same values with Medawi Christian School. So Medawi Christian School values are in the acronym CHRIST. Now, as a parent, I'm instantly going K for courage, H for humility, R for respect, I for initiative. I have a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old. S for self-control, and T for trust. So today we're going to be focusing on the two that we share, humility and honour or respect. So this is a brief outline of what we'll cover today. I'm not going to speak for very long. We'll start with a Bible reading from James. We're going to talk about what humility and honour isn't. We're going to talk about what humility and honour is. And we're going to talk about some biblical definitions of humility and honour. Then I'm going to ask Dan how the humility and honour values are outworked at MCS. Now, I am going to be using the terms isn't and is rather than aren't and are. And that's to deliberately link the concepts of humility and honour. I'm aware there may be some teachers in the room, though, so I would appreciate some grammar grace as we go along. All right, let me tell you a little bit about James. To give some context for the Bible passage that we're going to read this morning, James was written by the half-brother of Jesus, and a more correct translation of his name into English is actually Jacob. Jacob was a leader and a pillar of the early church in Jerusalem. He was a man who was known to have thick, calloused knees because he literally spent his life kneeling in prayer, which I think he probably learned from Jesus. He had more than his fair share of hardships as a leader, particularly persecution by local Jewish leaders, and that ultimately led to his martyrdom and death. Now, about James and Jacob, the book. This book and Jacob himself actually speak to the topic of humility and honour itself. So Jacob the Just, as he was known, never once used his position as Jesus' half-brother over or against anyone. In fact, his calling, just like Jesus, was to love the very people who persecuted him. So Jacob was a living example of Jesus' message and wanted all people, more than anything, to be whole. It's this word that's used seven times throughout the five chapters of the book. And the meaning of whole there is to live a life where our actions are consistent with our values and our beliefs. So let's read the passage now from Jacob 1. And this is a translation from NIV. And it's a little bit abridged. Trials and temptations. If you have Bibles, feel free to open them up, join me. If not, read on the screen. Verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, where it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. In verse 19, listening and doing. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at their face in the mirror and after looking at themselves goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: look after orphans and widows in their distress and keep yourself from being polluted by the world. So let's start off with what humility and honour isn't. Humility and honour isn't dependent on our circumstances. Humility and honour isn't designed to make us feel lowly or miserable. And humility and honour isn't determined by other people. Humility and honour isn't dependent on our circumstances. It's worth noting from the very start of this year, from the very start of this term, that we are all going to experience trials. In verse 2, Jacob invites us to consider those trials and all of our lives as pure joy. So what does this mean? This means that the outcome of trials is actually a resolution in our character. No matter what is happening around us, we can continue to be steadfast. We can be steadfast in our faith. We can be steadfast in our identity. We can be steadfast in our calling. And we can be steadfast in our values. Humility and honour isn't dependent on our circumstances. Humility and honour isn't designed to make us feel lowly and miserable. Verse 4 talks about God's plan for us and the journey that we're on. It's interesting here that Jacob talks about perseverance almost like a person. And it's the same word used here in the Greek as the previous verse, and it actually means patience, which is a fruit of the Spirit. So, if perseverance or patience is a fruit of the Spirit, then perseverance or patience is a gift from God that empowers us to fulfill God's plan. The truth is, God's plan for us, as seen in Jacob, is for us to be whole by the power of his Spirit. So humility and honour isn't designed to make us feel miserable. And humility and honour isn't determined by other people. Verse 5 reminds us that all good things come from God. If we consider humility and honour through the lens of what's happening around us, through the lens of what we believe about ourselves, or from the lens of other people, I don't know about you, but my capacity to walk in humility and honour is very greatly reduced and probably even at times beyond my capacity. Jacob talks here about wisdom as something to ask God for. And I believe that the only perspective that actually matters is God's. Who he says we are, who he says others are, and what he says about the world around us. So humility and honour isn't determined by other people. So let's talk about what humility and honour is. That's just how my brain works. We do the no and then we do the yes. Humility and honour is recognising our humanity. Humility and honour is understanding who God really is. And humility and honour is living as children of God. Humility and honour is recognising our humanity. Verses 13 and 14 talk about the very real struggle and the very real enemy that we face in this world. And we know from Ephesians 6:12 that our struggle isn't against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this world. We know that Jesus has conquered the devil, and we know that he has conquered the power of sin and death. And we also know that we give in to temptation and make mistakes daily. So then humility and honour is repenting, asking God to rebuke attack, spiritual attack, and to transform our patterns and our ways of thinking to match his. So humility and honour is recognising that we're human. Humility and honour is also understanding who God is. If we're asking for God's perspective to view ourselves, people, and the world around us, then we have to have the right lens to view God himself. So verse 17 talks about God being transcendent, all-powerful, my favourite, creative, unchanging and perfect in nature. God is always with us. He wants to speak to us. He wants to meet us continually face to face. And he wants to give us good gifts. It's just his identity. It is who he is. So humility and honour is actually really all about understanding who God is. And humility and honour is living as children of God. This chapter uses the language of family, and we use the language of family in this house. As well as commenting on the opportunity for how we can serve and partner with God. In verse 18, we're reminded that God breathed life and spoke us into being. So humility and honour is understanding and living as his beloved children. As beloved children, we're created. We're saved, we're consecrated and set aside like the first fruits of an offering. We are made whole, we are made righteous by the power of his Spirit. Humility and honour is living from that position as beloved children of God. So to kind of finishing up, we're just going to have a very brief look at what it actually means to live in humility and honour. We've talked about what it isn't. We've talked about what it is. So now what does it look like? Living in humility and honour, just as you were talking about, Dan, I love that passage, requires both a heart posture and an action. living in humility and honor means to love others well. And living in humility and honor remains God's design and plan for his family, for all of us. So biblical humility and honor. Humility is translated in verse 21 from the Greek word proutes. It means mildness of disposition and gentleness of spirit. So living a life of humility and honor require both a heart posture and an action. It means living as people who are loved and saved and partnering with God's word and his spirit inside of us. I don't know about you, but I can't live in gentleness of spirit and peace without my Father's spirit. We are empowered to live unaffected by our external circumstances, other people, and most importantly, the enemy. We are empowered to walk the path that God has for us in his peace, with his gentleness towards others. Living life with humility and honor requires both a heart posture and an action. Biblical humility and honor looks like loving others well. Verse 27 is the climax of this chapter, and it talks about the end goal of our faith, to just love all people. Wouldn't it be a beautiful world if we could love all people? Orphans and widows are words in the Greek that actually mean people who need teachers or guides or guardians and people who are bereft or barren. We are definitely living in a world that needs Jesus, with a whole lot of people who need to be introduced to the guidance and the love and the saving grace of Jesus. He is our one true teacher and he is the Father of life. So living with life with humility and honour means to love others well. And lastly, walking in humility and honour looks like choosing to listen to God and to live a life of obedience. It's a challenging one. The word for freedom used in verse 25 doesn't actually mean freedom without a plan or freedom without boundaries. It actually means freedom from the grip of the enemy and this world. And so being able to be free to listen to God and to do his will and his plan on this earth. God has always given us a choice, and we know that if we choose to live his way, it's really our lives that benefit. God is so good, and we desperately need him every day. Living life with humility and honor remains God's design and plan for his family. So, thank you for listening. I'd like to invite Dan back up. So what we're going to do is Dan's going to share a little bit of what humility and respect and how they're outworked at Madawi Christian School. And then we'd love to invite Brian up to share a word of encouragement and to pray for us. And then to finish before morning tea, which I'm super excited about, we'd love to invite you to stand with us and we'd love to pray for you.
Thanks, Jo. Interesting concept, thinking about, like, this morning, speaking to the converted, right? The idea that humility is a good thing, that seeking, putting oneself down, not thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought, like Philippians 2 would encourage us, putting others above our own needs. But to be fair, I do struggle with that personally from time to time. It's been known to have happened in my household that maybe I would, you know, seek my own interests ahead of those that maybe need something else. And so then when we think about that on a school community level, we have children that have not opened a Bible before. They don't know who God is and they don't know what he's done for them, and therefore why they should be thankful, and then why they should therefore use their life as an act of worship in order to be able to lead others to him, to be in relationship with him, to be in unity with a body. Right the way through to young men and women, boys and girls, who have a strong faith and a level of understanding of who Jesus is, and they are sold out for the gospel. And then that's the continuum. There's everything in between in Madeira Christian School. And so it's great that we are so open and able to welcome families in, that they often choose us because they like the sound of our values and they like the vision and they like that we are a Christian school. And actually so many parents now are open to their children hearing the gospel. They'll often sit across me and say, we've sort of decided where we are, but we would like for them to have the opportunity to explore their faith. I don't know that they know what they're welcoming. Because I can imagine as a parent, if my daughter or son came home and said, Dad, I learned about Jesus today and I want to tell you all about him, for me to say, sorry, son, I've already made my decision. I don't know too many parents that could do that. Like most of the time, I'm trying to draw out of them what happened at school today and, you know, learn like they learn. And so I think it's an amazing opportunity that we get to be able to share our values and the reason why we have these values with our children, in the hope that they will take them home and share them with their parents, and that as a result of that, we'll build an opportunity. Well, there'll be at least seeds sown and opportunities for families to engage with their faith too. So it is an amazing ministry that we get to be a part of. But how do we do it at Madeira Christian School? How do you codify humility? It's another thing I haven't fully got wrapped. But there are a few things that we do intentionally. And I think one of them is that we employ Christian staff who actually understand what humility looks like, because for our children who are at the most formative parts of their lives are looking for good models. And at Madeira Christian School, we have great models in the staff and the way they work out their faith for all to see. I try and talk about our school as a body, as a family, as a representation of that, and that therefore there is not one member that is any more important than the sum of the parts. Like, it's all the parts working together. Like, I have a different role. So sometimes people think that, oh, Dan's asked me to do this, I should do that instead of all these other things. More often than not, like I say to them, it's just Dan doesn't know you have all those things and just thought you might like this thing as well. And so, but the truth is, staff are working with humility. What that actually looks like is setting themselves aside to help a child, to explain, just that, take that extra step to explain to them why that's not the right thing that we do here, why we're not aiming for that as far as behaviour, or what's going to be helpful. And that takes time and patience. And, you know, I thought, that, again, a younger version of Dan, less mature, still maturing, by the way, but the overall, I would have thought, you know, becoming a principal, that would have allowed me to have my own time. I don't have my own time. Other people manage my time. I would have thought that I would have had, you know, more influence over the direction of the school and how things go. And then I realized that I don't even have that in my own household. So how could I assume? And so it does mean that all the time I am outworking humility as I learn and grow. But there's not one role that's important. That's why the body is such an amazing thing. The design of it is so amazing. It's because it actually requires all of us to exhibit humility in order for it to work. There is no unity. Humility is a prerequisite for unity. And God wants us to be unified in a world that is so divided. Because a lot of our students come with the message, hey, you know, we want you to be whoever, you know, you want to be. And then we say our vision is for you to become who God desires for you to become. And that's actually a slightly different message. And then we will say that we want you to build it with us. We want you to be a part of this school community and do something with us, because we want to exemplify and demonstrate what unity looks like, so that they can understand what being in a body of believers looks like, so that they can realize that actually believing and doing something bigger than yourself is going to be far better for you in the end, because it's going to point you to Jesus. You're going to see him, hopefully, in there. You're going to experience him. And so I think the staff carry an amazing responsibility with what it looks like to model it. We do have intentional programs at the school that try to give students opportunities to ask questions, whether it's in Bible study lessons, whether it's at chapel services, conversations in the playground. The staff have permission to share with the students at Madeira Christian School, which I think is great. And the other thing that I think we do is that there are lots of opportunities for leadership and service, because a great way of demonstrating or understanding or experiencing humility is doing something for others. And we have so many students that want to help their teachers to do jobs. Sometimes they want to help them so much so that, you know, they could lose a bit of learning time because they're so helpful. But our young people can lead. They can serve us and they can teach us some things too. And then it's whether or not as a staff in a school community we're going to be humble enough to be able to see that and value that and then allow that to shape who we're becoming on the school grounds. But it's different to what the world expects. The world expects, and some of these students come in expecting that this is all here for me. That chair is there for me. That table is there for me. This teacher, here for me. And I would not disagree. We're there to serve them, for sure. And we are there to provide them with resources to be able to have a great educational experience. But it is a countercultural message when we start saying that actually we want you to be good stewards of this space so that we can use it well in order to be able to build it instead of just keeping replacing it because it's broken. Little messages like that are so powerful to our students. And then when we actually get to do it, when we actually get to show them, then that's that confirmation that they're working as one, they're working as part of the body. It definitely reflects the way that Jesus wants us to live, living in peace and unity with one another. But it's not how we've been ultimately designed. And so I think the staff do an amazing job as to try and to teach and disciple and coach and counsel students in this pursuit for unity with humility. And I think it helps us do what we say we want to do. So some people call it a catchphrase, but I don't call it our catchphrase, but it is what I hope will be the essence of Madeira Christian School, that we're well-known, well-loved, well-taught, and it rolls off the tongue pretty well. But actually, to genuinely love someone, they'll do some things that maybe rub us the wrong way, that maybe demonstrate to us that they're not on the same page. And we're going to have to try and work with them and decide then and there whether or not that relationship is worth it, whether or not that child is worth it. And because that requires enormous humility on the part of a busy teacher or someone who's working in student services trying to hand out medications a million miles an hour to be able to stop and be present with people. But that's what Jesus did. He stopped. He was present with people. And we are his ambassadors in this place. And so, yeah, our pursuit is for great unity because I believe that when we have a school that's unified, we will have an amazing culture, we'll have an amazing community, and we'll be able to do amazing things for Jesus in his name. And so that's my prayer, that we'll be able to do that this year, every year. But ask for you to keep praying over the staff because that's what makes a Christian school Christian. It's not our programs, it's not our branding, it's not our messaging, it's the people. That's the way that Jesus designed it. We know that, but sometimes we think that it's wrapped in some of these other artifacts or pieces, but it's really the people. So keep praying that the staff faithfully, with courage, outwork who Jesus has called them to be on that site. Thanks, Brian. Thanks, Joe.